Hello. We're continuing our study in 1 Peter. We're up to chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Let me pray first. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given to us. We ask that your Holy Spirit will come and teach us, that we would learn from you. And Lord, anything that is said by or come from me, may it fall to the ground and bear no fruit. But may the words that come from you bear fruit in our lives. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So continuing on from Steve's position, we've got two questions that we've been working through. Who is God? And then because of that, how do we live? And working in that, one of the things that has struck me when we were doing the Alpha course was that quote from Nicky Gumbel, that where he said, "People do not care what you know until they know how much you care." And so one of the things I wanted to look at to start off with was, who is God and how much does he care about us? And then by how much he cares, then it can influence our reaction to it. So one of the verses that everyone knows is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, when we just stop for a minute, everyone's heard of that verse, everyone knows it, but just slow down for a minute and think. That price, the price that God paid, is, it's got to be the highest price that anyone can pay for anything. If you talk to any parent, then you can recognize the cost of that. That is huge. So there is no other way that God could have shown that he loves you more than to pay that price. And he paid that price for you so that you can have a relationship with him. You can come into his presence because Jesus paid the price for us to be able to enter into God's presence. Just amazing. Then, if we look at what Jesus said in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So God's plan for you is that you will have the very best. He knows you better than you know yourself. And then with that knowledge, he then has a plan for your life. He's planned out the things that he would desired for you to do. And then we have a choice about whether we do them or not. But God's plan is that you'll have the very best. It may not be the things that you think are the very best, but this is the God of all creation who's created everything, and he knows you, and then his design for you is that you will have the very best. Now, if we look at 1 Peter 4, go back into the start of 1 Peter, we pick that this letter is written to believers. This is not written about salvation. So all of the things, all of these instructions, as we go 1 Peter 4, there's a whole lot of instructions in there that God gives us. But what is not in there, it's not about salvation. This is about how we live. So just the first thing, that it's written to believers, and so it's not about salvation. Now, if we look at first part of 1:4, verse 1, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body." Now, I just want to slow down again a little bit and think about that. Christ suffered in his body. If we look at Isaiah 52, verse 14, it says, we're going through Isaiah 52. There's a multiple references about Jesus, 52 and Isaiah 53. But one of them, verse 14, says, "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So what Jesus went through, I mean, when you read through Luke or any of the Gospels, then it says, you know, that Jesus was beaten. And often in Scripture, you just get a simple one-line sentence. But behind that, we look at it and we say, well, Jesus was actually beaten beyond recognition. That's how much he went through for you. And that's part of that why, look, if you look at, you know, Luke chapter 24, we read about the two on the road to Damascus, and they didn't recognize Jesus. And part of that could be because he was beaten beyond recognition. And we know, like when Jesus was talking to Thomas, you know, he said, put your hand here in where the nails went through my hand, or your hand in my side, you know, where the sword went into my side. So in Jesus's body, he still bore all of the things that he went through in that time on earth. And again, if we look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, it says, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. So again, we look at Jesus in his resurrected form, and it looked as if he had been slain. That was very clearly seen, very clearly noticed. So one of the things that when we go to be with him, when we get into heaven and we see him face to face, then we're going to be able to see again what he went through. And again, he went through it because of his love for you. He did it, paid that price so that we can go to the Father. He's paid the price that we should have paid. Now again, back to 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desire, but rather for the will of God. Now, I really like here that it says, with the same attitude. God's not actually saying that you've got to go through all the things that Jesus went through, which is kind of reassuring. You may or may not have to, but that's not part of the passage here. But what it is saying is that we need the same attitude. We need that attitude to going through suffering so that we are done with sin. So many of the sins, you look at, they'll come up soon, but so many of the sins are to do with this body that we're living in. And we need this attitude that says, I'm prepared to suffer in the body so that I am done with sin. And then we can live for God. So I want, or we should have, this body living for the King, not living for our own human desires. So 1 Peter 4, verse 3. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised when you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So here you can see all of the issues. A lot of these issues are to do with our body. But the resolution of that is being prepared to go through suffering so that we are done with those. We are not alive to these detestable things, things that God does not want us to do. And then note, when we don't go through them, then we end up getting abused by other people, the people who do go through it. One of the things that I've found or experienced is that when you have discussions with other people, when all logic fails, at the end, when there's no more logic that can be discussed or argued through, when all that logic falls over, then the last thing that comes is they heap abuse on you. So part of this is it's not to do with you, it's not a reflection on you, it's nothing that we should take on personally. It's human nature. This is what's going to happen. And so we need to be ready for it, but then we do not react to it. We don't retaliate. We don't give back abuse. We just wear it. We just take one for the team, take one for God. And we say, okay, yep, that's expected. And in a way, I find it encouraging because it means that all of the other logic, the logical discussions that you would normally have with people, has fallen over. And they don't have any more logic that they can put up against your discussion. And that's when the abuse comes. So just be ready for it. Expect it and then just wear it. But then in verse 5, they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So God will hold people accountable. We are accountable for the lives that we live. There are, of course, two judgments, you know, the sheep and the goats. So the goats will get separated, the sheep go on, but then we'll still need to give an account. Even though we're sheep, we'll still need to give an account in the second judgment to God for the lives that we lived. Now, we also know, as Scripture says, that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. That's Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So we have the confirmation that in that judgment there is no condemnation. So be encouraged by that and be ready to give an account for what you've done in this life. Then 1 Peter 4, verse 6, it says, "For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regards to the body, but live according to God in regards to the spirit." Now, just to clarify that we live this life and then when we die, the decision is made. What happens? We don't pray for people that are now dead. What this is saying is that we're praying for people who were alive. It was preached to people who were alive, but they're now dead. So if we look in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, it says, "And this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now that decision is made when we pass from this earth. And so what this verse is actually saying is it's an encouragement to say that even those that were alive, the gospel was preached to them, they've been saved, and they're now living with respect to the Spirit. So it's an encouragement for us to go through the suffering and to put our heart and our desire on living forever, living with God. Then we move to 1 Peter 4:11 to 12. "The end of things is near." So verse 7, "The end of things is near." We don't know when the end is. We don't know the final times. But our attitude needs to be one of that it is near. Now, as we go through life, then we can see that the end of things, when Jesus returns, is getting closer and closer. Like I said, we don't know the time, but we need to have the attitude and the way we live such that it is near. "And therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." And there are lots of references through Scripture about praying and the significance of praying. So there's a number of things that we need to do to make sure that we have clear minds and we're able to pray well. We don't want anything to detract from our prayers. "Then above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Verse 8. How cool is that? That in everything we need to do things through love. So our motivation needs to be through love. So it's a quick, like a check, a guard, if you like. When we're going to do something, then we need to quickly check, is this action out of love? Is what we're going to do out of love? If it is, then great, go for it. If it's not based on love, then weigh it up and seriously consider it. It might not be the appropriate thing to do. Verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I really like this, without grumbling. Again, plenty of scriptures to back up this without grumbling, but I really enjoy this without grumbling. That needs to be our attitude. We've just been on a tour. Astrid and I went on a tour, and the leaders of the tour were two young girls, 23-year-olds. And it's kind of funny being told or guided what to do by kids that are younger than our kids. But the main thing that I really enjoyed about these girls, that nothing was too much trouble. And there was no grumbling. They just did everything without grumbling. And they just went over and above. Like, for example, one of the times we were walking across a stream. There's a stream flowing and there were rocks so that you could step across the stream without getting wet. One of the guys on the tour, he had these sunglasses with the shades over the sunglasses. And as he was a bit unsteady stepping across the rocks, the shades fell off and went into the water. And you know when you got streaming water going past, you've got a couple of seconds there to grab those sunnies before they get washed downstream. And one of the girls just went straight in, down the water, grabbed the sunnies, got totally drenched, boots, everything got drenched. She grabbed the sunnies, pulled them out, and then handed them back to the guy that dropped them. And I thought, wow, what a great example of just doing things, offering hospitality, but doing anything that we should do it without grumbling. That should be our attitude as believers, because we are serving the King, and in serving the King, we need to do it without any grumbling. Then verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve one another as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So God has given each one of us a gift. Now that gift is not for you or for your benefit. That gift is for you to be able to serve others. Then in serving others, you get blessed, yes. So in the end, you do get blessed through this gift, but it's through giving that we are blessed. And the gift that we're given is to serve. So we need to know what is it that God has blessed you with, because each one has got a different gift. And then together we have all the gifts, but we have a different gift, but the gift is for you to serve others. So we need to find a way that you can serve, a way that you can serve each other. That's something you need to pray about and work through. What is it that God is asking you to do? Again, if anyone speaks, they should do so with, sorry, they should speak the very words of God. Verse 11. So we need to put a guard on our tongues. You know, James talks about that, but we need to put a guard on our tongue. Anything that comes out of our tongue needs to be a word that God would be proud of you to say. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So then all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power forever and ever. Amen. So in the end of it, all of this that we do is for God's glory. That's the end result of what we're looking to do. So again, a quick check of what we're doing. That it needs to be something that will glorify God. So, what are the takeouts? The takeouts from this verse. So, my summary is firstly, to know God's love for you. Know that He has paid the ultimate price for you. There is no higher price that he could pay because he loves you. Jesus paid that price because of his love for you. Then also know that whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So the way to go through and conquer sin is to be able to be prepared to suffer. And the third thing is to love like God loves. Then he will get the glory and the honor. Thanks.